This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Thank you for your loving kindness, your faithfulness. Lord, the few minutes we have remaining, Jehovah, please speak to us. Reveal who you are to us, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Brethren, there are two events that are pivotal to the Christian faith. The first one is the virgin birth of the Messiah. You have to remember that. Because what qualified the Messiah to be able to wash away our sins with his blood was because his blood was untarnished. Amen? It was conceived of the Holy Ghost. There was no human input in that process. That's the first thing. And the first and the second are both connected. You can't have one without the other. The other is the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a clear understanding of those two, then you will understand what it means to be a child of God, to be a believer. You understand it, you believe it, you receive it, then you are saved. Very critical. And a lot of people have asked, if you say the only way to be saved is through Jesus, then what happens to those that lived before Jesus came? Very good question. And we will get to it as we continue today. So today I want to talk to you about something I've simply titled, Before Resurrection Morning. Before Resurrection Morning. Father, bless your word and speak to us in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read from 1 through 13. Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 1 through 13. It said, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Look at your neighbor, say, you have been called by God. Amen. Look at the other neighbor, say, you have been called by God. If you didn't know it before, I want you to know it today, that there is a call of God upon your life. This is scripture. I didn't say this. This is what the Bible says. Verse 2. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. You know, the exciting thing for me is how much God knows us and knows the future and writes about the future before the future came to be. In the church today, there are many that are keeping malice. Can't talk to the other person. And the Bible said, it said, number one, be gentle. Number two, be humble. Number three, be patient with one another and live peaceably with one another. He said, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift. Please be my extension to your neighbor again this morning. Look at them. Say, you have a special gift. Look at the other neighbor. You have a special gift. You know, a lot of times we're so focused on what somebody else is doing that we lose ourselves. Amen? The Bible says, he said he has given each one of us a special gift. Meaning the gift of God upon my life is not ordinary. You have a special gift. Have you discovered what that special gift is? Sister Betty, there is a special gift God has given you. I think we know yours. It's service. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's continue reading. Verse 8. So that is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts unto his people. There is no born-again child of God that is not gifted. Dr. Yemi, see, gifted. Special gift that God has imputed inside of you. The responsibility you and I have is to discover what that gift is. Daria, I see you over there. Special gift of God upon your life.
Right.
Attorney. Esquire. Toyin. Happy birthday in advance. There is a special gift that God has given you.
Amen.
Thank God for the law degree. But you have to search within.
Yes.
What is my gift? What is my gift? Watch. Say, as he ascended to heaven,
yes,
the old King James says, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. Verse 9, he said, notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. So we have pastors that are sitting and chilling and not working on their gift. We have evangelists. We have prophets in the church today. We have teachers in the church today that are content just watching others do it while they are spectators. But that has changed today. God will do a new work in your life. Okay, since you didn't believe me, God will do a new work in my life. Aha, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The responsibility of these people listed in verse 11 is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. May God bless the reading of his word.
Amen.
You know what I infer from that last verse? It says, before we can come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, all those things are prerequisites. Amen? Humility, patience, the bond of peace, and all of that must be at play before we can enter into that maturity and measure to the full and complete standard of Christ. My focus today is verses 9 and 10 is all I want to look at. But I wanted to give a context is the reason I read the whole thing. Watch this. It says, he ascended, but before he ascended, he descended. He descended at many levels. Do you know that Jesus is God? You know that. He was seated on the throne in heaven, and when he came, and God said, who will go for us? Jesus said, I'll go. And the Bible says, God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, somebody say whosoever.
Whosoever.
I love that. I love that because if it was based on money or status in society, a good number of us would not qualify. But he said, whosoever, anybody that is in agreement and says, I want to be, can be. Isn't that what Pastor Ayodele was telling us earlier, reading for Daniel 11? Amen? To be strong, to be, to become, to be like him. He said, whosoever will receive him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That is what resurrection is all about. Can you imagine if Jesus did not rise from the dead? Any thoughts? If Jesus was not raised from the dead, there's no Christianity. The anchor of Christianity is the fact that he rose from the dead. That is why when Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says he appeared severally to people so that there will be no doubt, no questions whatsoever. He told his disciples that they will be persecuted after he's gone.
Yeah.
So to strengthen them, he made appearance. Like I told you, I am risen. Thomas said, can I put my hand through the hole in your hand? He said, go ahead. You know, knock yourself out. He put his hand through the hole. Said, if you are wondering if it's me, do you have bread? They said, we have bread. Bring bread. He ate bread with them. Amen? To assure them that it's for real. It's for real. It's for real. Jesus died for you. He died for me. You know, and when I read scriptures, it encourages me a great deal. And I tell you why. If you read John chapter 20, when Mary Magdalene had been to the tomb and saw that the tomb was empty, she ran back to announce to the disciples who were still mourning. Remember, Jesus told them all of these things before he died. They didn't believe. Peter and John, the Bible says they ran. They ran to the tomb. When they got to the tomb, John stood back. I said, Peter, are you going first? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen? When I see those things, and guess which book did we read that from? The Gospel according to John. John was the one writing about himself and saying that he stood back and let Peter go in. You know, it's one of the things that tells you that this book, this Bible, it's for real. Because if I was telling a story about myself, even if you don't want to lie,
okay,
you will omit some detail. And say, we were running and Peter just ran inside. Amen? But he said, I was afraid. I didn't know what was inside. So I stood to the side. And Peter went inside, and then I followed after him. Friends, the amazing thing about Jesus is he left the wonderfulness of heaven, the glory of heaven. He left all of that and took on humanity, descended to this lowly world. John 3:13, Jesus himself speaking here. He said, no one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. God came and took habitation with man. What love, such love that God has for you, that God has for me. Do you know God could have, he's God, he could have sent angels. He said, but this has to be real so that the enemy will not be able to deny it. He came himself. God came for you. Somebody say, God came for me. He came for me. He came himself for me directly. He descended from deity to humanity. And then he descended from humanity to infamy. It descended to disgrace. You read the account of what they did to him. The Bible says they beat him with stripes. 39 stripes on his back. And the book of Isaiah tells us that when we looked at him, he didn't look like a human being anymore. And he did all of that for you. He did all of that for me. He was beaten. He was smitten. He was scorched. It's not koboko they used. The whip they used has spikes in it. The Romans had devised such evil of torture instrument. So when they whip a person and pull the whip, the spikes digs into the flesh and tears it. He did that for you. And you know what is surprising? Well, not surprising. What's a big deal is he had the power to stop it. But he knew what it would take for you to be saved. He knew what was required. He knew the price. And he was determined to pay the price for you, Grandma. He said, I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. That is why there is no reason for you to continue to carry the burden. Amen? Is there any afflicted? Come to him. Is there any heavy laden? Come to him. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Watch this. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. He said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Death on the cross was reserved for the worst kind of criminals. And he did it for you.
Hallelujah.
He did it for me.
Hallelujah.
Watch. Verse 9. The Bible says, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and of those in heaven and those on earth and of those underneath the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. One, he descended from heaven, descended to the earth. He descended and took on the form of humanity. And then he descended and went from humanity to shame for the things they took him through. And then the question I asked, well, the question you are thinking you didn't ask that I asked on your behalf. So what about the people that died before Jesus came? Amen. Very valid point. He not only did he descend to the earth, in death, he descended to the lower parts of the earth. He went into hell, is how some commentators have described it, to liberate captive souls from Satan. Listen, Jesus speaking here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, Matthew 12, verse 40. He said, for as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And then God gave the psalmist a revelation of what was to come in Psalm 16 and verse 10. Psalm 16 and verse 10. He said, for you will not leave my soul among the dead, or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. Jesus actually died. Amen? One of the arguments of those that don't believe is that he didn't die. He died. He died. He hung on the cross, and when he gave up the ghost, the Bible says there was earthquake. Everywhere shook. Darkness, gross darkness, covered the earth. And in that moment, the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place was split in two. It was a dramatic event. It was not something that happened on the down low. It didn't happen on the down low. Everybody felt it, and they scurried for their lives. He died. He died. The question is, when he died, what happened from the time he died to his resurrection? Because we celebrate Good Friday, he died. And then Sunday, we celebrate his resurrection. But what happened in between? Open to 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 to 20. 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 to 20. Phew. I need to wrap this up now. Christ suffered for our sins once for all. If you have a hardcover Bible, a paper Bible, I want you to underline that. Christ what?
Suffered for our sins.
On a continuous basis.
Once and for all.
Every now and again.
Once for all.
He paid the price one time. Your sin, present, and future, he paid it all. That's the song the choir sang for us. He paid it what?
All.
He said, Christ suffered for our sins once for all. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but was raised to life in the spirit. I love the way the Passion Bible translation puts this, verse 18. It said, Christ suffered and died for sins once and for all. The innocent, listen, the innocent for the guilty to bring you near to God by his body being put to death and by being raised to life by the Spirit. What's he saying? He's saying, even though Romans tells us that the wages of sin is death, said, but the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus, the one that knew no sin, became sin for you. The innocent became the guilty, so that the guilty can go free. Why am I emphasizing this? The reason I'm saying all of this to you is, do not let a sacrifice go to waste in your life. He had you and I in mind when he went through all of that. He saw a clear picture of Ikenna. He saw a clear picture of Somi. Saw a clear picture of the life of great. And said, this one cannot redeem himself. I would die for him. He's guilty as charged, but I would die for him. He's responsible for his actions, but I would take the penalty onto myself. So much so that when your sin and my sin was upon him, God turned his face away from him. And on the cross, as he hung, said, my Father, why have thou forsaken me? Friends, there is a sure end. Amen?
Amen?
There is a sure end. The death and the resurrection is an affirmation that there is an end that is not pretty unless we accept Jesus. That's why he went through all of that. Amen?
Amen.
My prayer for you and I is when the trumpet will sound, that God will find you rapturable.
Amen.
Oh, about 50 people.
Amen.
God will find me rapturable.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Because there is an end. There is a beautiful place called heaven. And there is an ugly place called hell. Both of them are very real. Both are what?
Real.
Real. I don't care what stories somebody has fed you. But on the final day, a decision will be made. And it's only two choices available. I dare say there's only one choice. The Bible says, I lay before you today life and death. And I plead with you. I admonish you. Choose life. Choose life. Please rise to your feet.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.